It's, did you just order a salad?
I did.
Oh yes.
Yes.
It's fun because the concept, like, it's why we are at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, and someday I'm gonna have budget and gonna bring some slice of pizza.
Nice.
You know, now we have coffee. So how are you?
I love it. I'm good. How are you? Wow.
First lady at No BS with SB.
Yes, I am the official first lady.
Yes.
The first lady. I've never been called the first lady.
Yes, you are the
first. I've been called other things, like Lady Rash is my nickname. I don't know if you knew that.
I think about all of water. No, what is Lady
yeah.
Rash?
Well, my dad, as you know, I think was from Haiti. Did you know my dad was from Haiti?
Yes, I think.
Oh, so
you speak three languages?
I speak a little bit of Creole, not very
French?
Much. I speak French.
Because
yeah,
French
and
Haiti is the same.
Oui, oui. Creole, c'est un... difficile à apprendre, mais je peux parler un peu. I can fake it a little bit. But he had a very thick accent, so he pronounced my name Rachel, and so people thought my name was Rash.
Oh,
so everyone calls me Rash. So I say I've always wanted to be Lady Gaga, but I'm Lady Rash.
Lady Rash.
Yeah.
And what did it mean, something rash and care?
Rash is something you get on your skin, something irritating,
okay,
or a decision that you didn't think out.
Okay.
So it's basically, I have a joke with that where I say my husband, when he proposed to me, he was making a rash decision.
Yes.
To be irritated for the rest of his life.
How long he was rash?
He said it's with life, for life.
But so you still with him?
I'm still with him, 25 years actually. We've been married for 22. I'm going to take this off because it's very loud.
Oh,
but
right.
He is an obstetrician gynecologist, a vagina doctor. So if you have a real lady rash, he can take care of it. I only recently thought of it. I'm like, he's the doctor of lady rash.
Do you like his job?
I don't mind it.
Okay.
He's not a porn star. That would be awkward. He's just helping women and babies. And, you know, it's noble. It's a noble job.
But yeah, I know, but...
But he's the one that has his shit together, right? You know, he's the doctor, so...
Did he practice on you before his job?
No, but let's just say he's pretty good. He knows where things are, you know what I mean?
Wow, we start strong,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I know, I didn't mean to. Oh,
I told you guys,
already.
This is why I invite you at Rash.
You almost said Rash,
yeah,
didn't
rash.
You? Rash, you
is
call
it,
me Rash. Everyone who loves me calls me Rash.
Is it Eli or Eli?
Eli.
It's Eli.
My mom actually is American, so she would say Eli, and my dad would say Eli.
Okay.
So that's why they divorced. But no, it's a Lebanese name, apparently.
Okay.
But it's Eli, and it's for a long time I thought it was a Jewish name, but I found out it's actually Lebanese.
So you're American, Haiti Canadian?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't look it, right?
Do you use it in your comedy?
You know, I've been using it a little bit more. I've had a club owner once said to me, no one buys it. Like, don't talk about it. Like, no one believes you. And I've had people say, did you make that up about your dad being from Haiti? So,
why is it because your skin is...
It's interesting because my sister looks Haitian, a little bit Haitian.
Okay.
Like, she doesn't look white.
Okay.
So she never gets the question... are you from Haiti? Like, people believe her, whereas me, they don't believe it. And her husband is Guyanese, so her kids are half black, so they look like there's no question. But me, my husband's Italian, I definitely look white.
You speak Italian?
No, not at all.
You don't practice Italian?
No, okay. Not at all.
Wow, you could, huh?
Speak Italian?
Yes.
I'd like to, but I find even just learning, I wanted to learn Creole, and I found it very difficult.
But you're right, it's still... It feels like when you said you're half Haitian, you said? Mm-hmm.
No, well, my dad was Haitian,
yeah.
And he was not black, he was beige. He was a beige Haitian. But when you go to Haiti, I've been to Haiti 9 times. I've met Chinese Haitians.
No way.
And you know, imagine if you're Chinese and Haitian, you have a very thick Haitian accent and you speak Chinese and you look Chinese. That's even more difficult.
Yeah.
But I think you just assume that everyone in Haiti is black. But when you go to Haiti, if you saw my relatives and our family tree, you'd see all different shades of black, beige.
Yeah.
I've had Haitian relatives get yelled at in Haiti and people say, go back to your country. And they're like, I was here before you. You know, my relatives, I joke that I say my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Lebanese, left Haiti, or left France in the 1800s, went to Haiti. Fucked a Haitian woman, and now I'm Haitian. That's all you need to know. But many generations we've been there.
So you went there 9 times?
I've been there.
Did you perform comedy there?
I have never done comedy
there,
no.
By choice, or?
I just, I only went back after a 30-year break.
Oh, look at
that. Very recently. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Well, that's going to be hard to eat on camera.
I know. Hey, who cares?
Yes. Look at that. I'll have some of it.
Look at that.
Oh, my goodness.
Beautiful salam jam.
Are you going to share this with me?
I have my banana. Bob, I have to call you back. We have a beautiful salam now.
No, you want to have some of this?
No, no, it's all right. Because if we eat two, now it's going to be annoying.
Yeah.
So now you live in Ottawa.
I live in Ottawa. So I was in Toronto for 25 years.
Okay.
And
you start comedy there.
I started comedy. Where did I start comedy? Well, I went to theater school. I went to theater school in Vancouver. I went to Bishop's University too to study acting, and I started comedy in Vancouver.
Okay.
Theater sports improv.
Okay.
And then when I moved to Toronto, I was sick of waiting to get jobs with my agents, so I started doing stand up in the 90s.
You start the comedy in 90s?
In the 90s.
After the boom?
During the boom. In the 90s, like 95, 96. It was
okay.
Very easy to get on TV at that time.
Okay.
I was on Women in Comedy, Minnie Holmes show. I was on the Elvira Kurtz Adventures in Comedy.
Okay.
After 2 years of doing comedy, I got on TV very quickly. But what happened is, and I did a lot of stand-up comedy, I started working at Comedy Wood on Bloor Street West.
Comedy Wood?
It was where the hypnotist...
Okay.
Boris, I think his name, he had a comedy club. So okay. I started working there. I started getting
work. So I want to know your first show. Can you remember?
I remember. My first show was in Ottawa for the Yuck Yucks.
No
Howard
way.
Howard Yuck Yucks. And I went in disguise. I went as a character, Thuthan.
It was the first character. Or the second Yuck Yuck, remember? Because they have two Yuck Yucks.
It was the first Yuck Yucks in the basement.
They are both in the basement?
Not the Spike Club, the other one.
The one he closed.
Yeah. Yes. Well, now he's down on Elgin. So it was the one that was in a hotel.
Oh.
Not the one on Preston.
Okay. So you have three Yuck Yucks at Ottawa.
Ottawa had one on Spark Street kind of area.
I don't really. Yeah.
And then they moved to Elgin, but okay. I think I don't know the logistics of it. But they also opened a second club on Preston, and
yes.
That one closed down.
Yes.
So this was the first club that they had.
So you.
I went in disguise. And Howard at the time was like, come back when you're ready to be yourself.
Wow. It's not cool what you said.
Well, it was good, actually, that he told me that, because I got it. Like,
you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
Know?
I mean, he was very kind.
No, he's a great guy.
Yeah. But at the time, I realized, okay, I'm not quite ready to be myself. It was funny.
It's not. Me too, I start with personage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And French, because me, I start in French.
Yes.
Me too, it was not easy to go on stage yourself.
Yes.
You know, because me at the time, all the comic in French was personage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you thought.
So it was easy for us. It was more acceptable than now. Now, if somebody in French do a personage, it's weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back then
it was a bit more campy.
It was
kind
the
of
process.
Characters.
Yes. Mm. So you start with Suzanne, and what Suzanne want to say? Remember?
Well, you know what? Susan was a psychic. And I still do this character. She unchaps anuses. She sees blockage.
Okay.
Clearing the blockage. What was so funny is a guy came up to me at the end of that show, because I think I went to Toronto then and I did it at Yuck Yucks again. And then I slowly got the courage to do it as myself.
Yeah.
But I had a guy come up to me after the show.
After the first show.
And he said, hey, can you do a psychic reading for me? Because the character is a psychic. She wears like a big turban, red wig. I've done the character for 25 years. Like I've done her a lot.
So you after Howard said, we'll come back when you're going to be you.
Yeah.
You still...
I still did, because I'm a trained clown. I've been doing clown for almost 25 years. When I say clown, like European style clowning.
Yeah.
Like Philippe Gollier was a teacher of mine. I studied clown with him. So I have a lot of clown characters. I have a Joe character and I have Susan, who I started with a woman named Gina Bastoni, who is a Cirque du Soleil clown.
Okay, so but Howard, he said to you, come back when you can
be yourself.
Yeah, but did he say something else? Said you're good?
Know, no, and funnily enough,
just go.
Four years ago, when I was thinking of moving back to Ottawa, my husband, my kids all wanted to move to the Ottawa Valley to be closer to nature. I was like, this is going to be career suicide, but let me test out Ottawa. So I got in touch with Howard, and I'd been back to the club maybe once to do a set, but I hadn't been very serious about it.
Okay.
And by the time I got in touch with him, I had been doing comedy again, stand-up comedy for 6 years. Because long story short, after doing comedy
in the 90s, long story long.
I can't eat a salad and talk to you. No, I'm going to take this to go and eat it later. I'll have my coffee.
You know why? Because it's salad.
I got too much to say.
It's not a calamari.
No, and it's like my mouth is full and
I'm
like...
It's not appetizer. Yeah. No, it's so this is complicated food.
It's complicated food.
Yes.
Like I can have like a cucumber.
No, no, yes. I ate like... No, don't be shy. Don't be shy. I'm not... It's just
I know, but
you.
I'm just not gonna. I'm not gonna devour it the way I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Pick one tomato at a time, but it's the long, long story we want.
The long story.
It's why you're here, by the way.
True.
Because you have, I think we're gonna talk about that later. One of the best year for you, with Just for Laugh.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
gonna
been
come
really
back
good
with
year
that.
For me.
Oh yeah.
But let me. I'll start a bit closer to the '90s. Is when
yes.
I started in the '90s when I left theater school.
But just one second, because. I think we are too much happy together.
Yeah.
So I just want to be. I have to do the avocado, the attorney.
Yes, please do.
Because it was very important. You said 4 years ago, you have to make a decision about the if you move back to Ottawa.
Yeah.
And you talked to Howard. Are you?
So I got in touch with Howard because I had been working mostly at Absolute Comedy.
Oh.
I had been really working Absolute Comedy in Toronto, so I felt like I already had a relationship. With Absolute Comedy, I didn't need to reach out to Yuck Yucks. I was working in Toronto, Kingston, Ottawa. But then I thought, I'm moving to Ottawa and everyone talks about Yuck Yucks there. I might as well just get in touch with Howie and do a spot.
Okay.
So I went and he said, Howie, I haven't seen you in a long time. I'm the person that came in character to your club way back. And I even had a sheet of paper, 3 sheets, I'll send it to you, where he gave like advice to comedians that were just starting out. And I really listened to everything he said. Record your set, watch comedians, look at other comedians who are rock stars like Mike McDonald, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote him and I said, I'm going to be in Ottawa, can I do a set?
Okay.
So I came in and I did a 6-minute set and I feel like I really showed off what I was doing. And he immediately booked me for a weekend.
Whoa.
So it suddenly
shifted.
But a weekend. And I was like, oh, Ottawa. Okay. Because in Toronto with Yuck Yucks, you can't work both clubs. It's just...
No, man. What is my title?
No BS.
Exactly.
Yeah. So no, if we're not.
No, man.
Yeah,
it's the truth.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The truth. When if you work with your, if they love you, if you're funny, they're gonna say you can't play there.
Yeah.
If you're not funny, and you play, when you're not funny, it's when you play both clubs.
Oh yeah, do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree because
I
am at
trust
with
me.
Both clubs is because I'm independent.
No, trust me.
But
I can play at the Absolute.
You can't.
I can't.
But you're headlining right now.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm
you're
in
not.
Middle. No, I'm middling right
but
now.
But you're gonna do 1 hour just for laugh.
I know, but I'm not in Ottawa. I'm middle.
For them.
I'm a middle.
But for you, do you consider you a middle?
I feel like in the last year I've become a headliner.
Okay.
And so now I'm working my way towards convincing club owners that I am.
But I think good middle, they can do both club. If you start to get paid, trust me.
Well, my experience so far has been that I work in Ottawa and I work both clubs as a middle and a host. But that said, I do not, what am I trying to say with that? In Ottawa, it's unique because you can do not corporate gigs, but out of town gigs for both clubs. And there's no real conflict.
Good for you.
So I've been doing, as you know, I've worked with you, with Howie on gigs out of town.
Yes.
I'm opening for Derek Seguin. I'll be his host in 2 weeks.
Wow.
In first week of August, I'm in Toronto doing Absolute Comedy as
good
a middle.
For you.
I'm hosting.
Should be like
Kingston.
That all the time, by the way, you know.
So anyhow, saying it out loud, I'm like, oh no, is this someone going to see this and take it away?
Nobody
don't tell this. Anyone,
nobody
but
that.
that's what I've been doing. So, I mean, I'm constantly saying I'm a headliner. I'm ready to headline. You can't. So I just headline myself. I book shows across the Ottawa Valley.
Okay.
I've been doing, I did 15 Ragbag Cabaret shows last year. And I also did a tour with Derek Seguin where I did the Rash Comedy Bash. So I booked him as a headliner. And I did half an hour to 45 minutes off the top, depending on if we had an intermission.
Yes.
And I had Johnny Vegas, Mike McDonald's kid brother, who's a great singer, a wonderful crooner. He would do our cocktail hour. So those shows went very well. I did 3 in the Ottawa Valley 1 weekend, and we sold out one of our shows in Alma, 230 seat theater, and I did some other show, two other shows, 120 people. So I've always been a self-producer,
yes,
because I just can't wait for people to give me the opportunities.
Exactly.
As you know, you have to go for the opportunities. Exactly. So that's really
don't wait. But
no.
But let's come back from you did a spot from Howard. Did he recognize you? You remember?
I don't know if he did.
Okay,
I don't know.
It's because it was a long time ago. If it's in 95.
It's been a long time. I mean, there was a familiarity. Like,
yeah,
he kind of remembered me. I remember
95, 2015. It's 20 years.
Yeah, huge.
So you're in the world of comedy for a long time.
Yes. And what happened is, in the year 2000, I got married and I was pregnant. And stand-up comedy clubs were still smoking clubs at that time. So I remember going to work pregnant at Comedy Wood. I was about 3 months pregnant. I was very nauseous.
Wow.
And I couldn't be in the club. Like, it just made me sick.
Yeah.
And then I started looking like, this is the environment. Like, I couldn't. So I stopped. I'm also a visual artist. I'm a painter.
So
I just focused on my painting.
Okay.
I've been selling paintings for the last 20 years as well. I also just went into the streets of Toronto and stopped waitressing and said, I'm going to try to sell my art. And I ended up selling my work very quickly. And then I was like, okay, go become a painter. So I worked, when I got pregnant, I just focused on my painting more and on my clown. So I worked with this woman, Sue Morrison, and then what happened is when my son was 1 year old, I said
to
my husband,
how many kids, yeah?
I have two kids.
Two kids.
When my son was a year old, I had already planned with my husband, you're gonna take 4 months off. So he took 4 months off and we went on tour across Canada. And I started doing the Fringe Festival.
Wow.
So I did a cross-Canada tour of my one-woman show at the time. It was my first clown show. It was a red-nosed clown.
Okay, for
very
kids.
Very avant-garde, not for kids.
Not for
no,
kids.
Not for kids at all. Adults, like a
no.
Nasty, bitchy, pregnant
wow.
clown.
No
like
way.
Really kind of mean clown.
When in the what year?
That was in 2002,
wow.
2003. So I did a cross-Canada, and then I got pregnant on tour. I had some horrible experiences. I had great experiences,
yeah.
4-star reviews, 5-star reviews, and then I was also very experimental. I did a show in Edmonton where all the critics were there, and because my director had a really big reputation as being an amazing clown director,
okay,
all the important people came to my opening, and I decided to totally change the show, and I brought Thuthin into the show. Not appropriate, didn't make any sense. I was licking audience members, throwing marshmallows at them, like kind of crazy clown experimental. And I got several 1-star reviews and I got a bunch of bombs, which means worse than one.
Whoa.
And at that time they would post reviews in front of the theater as well. So it was actually really, it was very traumatic. I remember I went to one show and there was one person in the audience.
So where did this rage is from?
I don't even think it was rage. It was getting bored with the script. So everything's working, everything's going well, but sometimes it doesn't go well. But instead of figuring out why it wasn't going well, I would just say, oh, some of my clown teachers, like Richard Pachinko and Ian Wallace, they were pioneers in clown, and they, like Richard Pachinko would say to Neon, who was the clown, Ian Wallace, I'm not giving you much background, but he would say, okay, last night was a great show. Tonight, you don't repeat anything. You do a brand new show.
Whoa.
So that was already in my mind of like, if you're a really good clown,
yeah,
you can start over. So I started over.
Yeah, but it's not 10 minutes though.
No, 1 hour.
1 hour every
yeah.
night.
It's, so it's, I started over and it was a disaster.
So
I picked myself back up. I almost divorced myself. I really found my strength again,
yes,
and I decided I would never do clown again at the end of that tour.
Okay.
Started getting back into stand-up again there, but then I got back in the Fringe. I did another one-woman show. I worked with Philippe Goulier. I created a character named Joe, and I did a show called Joe the Perfect Man. Yeah. Even idiots have dreams. He's like a loser, freaking toothless, chubby guy, total loser. But I had such an experience of experiencing what it is to be a true loser in my first tour.
Okay.
I got really, like, Philippe Goulier is an insult teacher.
Okay.
So you will go up on stage and you do something.
Okay.
And he will say,
he's going to heckler you?
He's going to say, okay, he'll throw tennis balls at people. He would even say, let's say your friend goes up and is not very good. He'll say, Sebastien, was that genius comedy, or was it like a pubic lice on a cardinal's anus? And you have to say pubic lice. Okay. So it's insults. But he, I did my character Joe, he said, come into class in disguise with the pleasure that no one knows who you are. No one will recognize you. And I showed up as this Joe character, and he said, you play him for life until he dies. You are fucking funny. You do this. So I did the character for 8 years.
Wow.
So 8 years I was a chubby, toothless man that no one would know. It was
8 years plus comedy?
I didn't do stand-up at
okay.
that time. No.
Okay, so why? Because with all the tool you have with in the past with the clown, and mm-hmm. for you it's easy to be a comedian.
Yeah, you know it was...
What is tough for you to be a comedian? Is it the writing? Because go on stage, I'm sure it's not tough
no,
for you.
No, stage presence is easy.
Yeah.
When I first got back into stand-up comedy, the trouble was...
And why did you decide to go to be in the...
I think playing a chubby, toothless man for 8 years, and no one knows it's me. Yeah. After the show, people would be like, that guy was good. And I'm like, it was me.
Wow.
No one knew it was me, but it was good. Very humbling.
Yes.
Very good for my ego.
So like award set, you were ready to show yourself.
I was. And I thought, I'm married to a doctor, obstetrician, gynecologist. Oh, yeah. I have two kids. I have so many stories. We worked in Kenya. We traveled.
Yes.
So I came back from Kenya in 2003, and I was like, I'm gonna write a stand-up show. And I did, I couldn't do it. I did a character. I did this Lady Gaga character named Om Shanti, and it was like over the top. My friend Joey L'Expérience, his name is L'Espérance, but people call him L'Expérience because he's had a lot of great sexual experience. He said, I felt sexually awkward during your show. Like my show was out there. Like I did some really like, someone called it a burlesque show. It wasn't burlesque,
yes.
but it was really out there. So I tried to do that
yes.
myself, and I couldn't. And then I did a second show called Mao, where I played myself with all these clown characters.
So you're always working out to figure it out who you are and what is your personage until you... When did you realize, okay, it's time to meet? Because I asked you your first show,
yeah.
but... Because you stop and come back, stop and come back. I want to know your first real show in comedy with yourself. Can you tell me when you said, you know what, I'm go on stage, I'm Rachel Ely, let's
yeah,
do this.
I did a long break. Like I said, after I had my second kid,
yes.
I got back into the scene in Toronto.
Yeah, okay, so you're in Toronto.
In Toronto,
okay.
And I would do stand-up sporadically.
Okay.
So I would do myself.
So tell me
myself.
The first show, when you said, okay, I'm going on stage to do 5 minutes.
I did a show, I can't remember where it was, but I know that the clown that I had been doing influenced my stand-up. And
yes.
I remember a guy who was ready to quit stand-up comedy came up to me and he was almost crying. And he was like, You've made me want to do stand-up again. And I remember taping that performance and listening to it because I was wild. I was unhinged, but I was crazy.
Okay.
I was crazy, Rochelle. It wasn't really true. It's who I am if I was stuck with something.
It's never us anyway.
Yeah.
Because you when you, me, I'm a personage on stage from other, but it's me, but amplify. I amplify myself.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because I'm pissed off of something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you, but when did you realize, okay, it's me. I want to be me on stage.
I think what happened is I was doing a lot of comedy in Toronto, and I would kind of experiment with playing a bit of my Om Shanti character, like
a bit
of a personage,
yes.
as you said. And I started to just, I really thought that that's what I wanted to do. I looked at Sam Kinison, I was very passionate about studying
yes.
it and looking at people who played characters.
Yes.
Sam Kinison was a big one for me. And then as I started doing it more and more, I started to realize that the characters that I do are very interesting. And that if I'm playing a character too, it almost takes away from all the characters. Because I play characters, I do a lot of act outs in my comedy. I play homeless guys, I play women, men,
in
like
one,
many different
your 1 hour,
people.
Your 1 hour.
My 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a real pivotal thing was I did a show, the closest thing to my stand-up show was called Shit, I'm in Love with You Again. It's a 1 hour show, but it has music, stand-up comedy, storytelling characters. Yes. It was still not pure stand-up comedy.
No.
And it's because I started working on it with a director, and it just became more of a storytelling show.
Okay.
So doing that show, I found myself, for sure. Because the other show I did, Mal, that I'm talking about, where I played the clown characters, it was disturbing for me to find out that I could play all these characters, but I couldn't play myself.
Yes.
I was awkward as myself.
Yes.
So that's where stand-up, I started working on my stand-up voice.
Yeah.
And it just started, I watch my videos all the time, and I would watch the videos, and more I would start to see, like even Jason at Absolute Comedy,
he is the owner
of Absolute Comedy. He can be a little bit of a harsh critic, but one thing he did say to me, what is harsh? Like
it's like a word, like
extreme,
come back.
Like, yeah, rude, like not very polite all the time with his feedback.
Do you remember one of the critics he tell you?
Oh yeah. I remember calling him and going like, hey, I see you have a New Year's show. I was wondering if I could get booked on it. And he's like, No, that's only A comics. A plus.
Did you ask
him? And I was like, what am I? He's like, C minus. He might have even said D.
No, but you're like, C minus, not bad.
It might have been a D actually. Yeah. But I can't, I in my mind it was a D. But it always strengthens you, right? But he would say to me, I almost went in character to his club when I first, that's a good example, is when I went back to Absolute Comedy to do stand-up and like just committed to doing stand-up comedy. I showed up in a Britney Spears on crack dress, like high heels, and I was very like, it's so good to be here, to be in the light, to feel my light shining through each and every one of you, except for you, that's my ex-husband, Boudicurs. So it was very character-based.
Yes.
And at the time, I got laughs.
You said at the time, what time is it?
Oh, like that was, I'd say that was...
10?
That was about 10 years ago.
So, okay. 2010?
Yeah, 2010.
But just to be... Do you prefer to somebody tell you you're C+, or no, we are full?
No, C+ is...
You know what I mean?
I mean...
Because...
No, I never take full for an answer. Like, I'm not... That's not my personality. If someone says we're full...
Yeah, well, the lineup is full.
I know there's a way to get in.
I know, but it's full.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yes. No, I'm happy with the honesty.
The lineup is there. Me too. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Because I think something happened inside you. Like, I'm not a C+. I'm going to show. I'm going to prove it. You know?
Yeah.
What was the feeling?
It's tricky, right? Again.
Because you said I'm a D. So you not go up. You said, yeah, he's right. But I'm D. I'm not C+.
I don't think it's good for your self-esteem. Like, I think
this business is really tough.
And there's a reason why...
It's why I'm doing a podcast, you know?
Yeah,
because I want to show to the people, like, what you saw on the television. I have a big, long process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because this is a great proof. For when I saw you, I saw a lot of pain, but a lot of joy, because you never give up.
Right.
You're still here, and you're the best.
Mm.
And you know what I mean? And your art from now. Because I played with you last year.
Yeah.
You host, remember?
Yeah.
A big show, a corporate show, not easy.
Oh my God,
tough.
Lights were on,
and
big.
You kill, you work hard.
Oh, thank you.
And because you know what is the job of the host, huh?
Yeah.
It's to open the door for the laugh, for the middle and the headliner,
yeah.
And you did well. And
we
talked about that in the green room, and it was like a podcast, remember?
Yeah.
When I said
yes,
that.
Yes.
And now we are here together.
I know, I love
and
that.
And you're still here. Do you enjoy now to be a comedian because of all the struggle, the pain in the past?
I don't know if it's... Do you appreciate, are you grateful? I do comedy because... It was never a choice, right?
It's
like
exactly,
even when I went to theater school, I wanted to be a serious actress, but
yes.
I had to face
yes.
face
then
that
why,
every time I do comedy, people say, "Here's the door, come inside," right?
Like exactly, why the comedy always bring you back in the world of comedy, eh?
You know what? Even last year, last summer, I'm like, I'm going to do a clown show at the Ottawa Fringe. I did a clown show, Joe and Susan. My husband's like, why are you doing this? It was a... There were some positive things.
Yes.
But the opening night, my son's girlfriend and her family were there.
No.
It was a bit of a disaster.
Oh.
It was one of those, like, my husband was like...
Oh.
you could do a lot better.
He loves you a lot, huh?
He loves me. But he was like, that was a bit of a disaster. The show got good. I figured out the show, but it was my first pancake, and it was really... And at the end of the show, the next week was Just for Laughs. I came to Just for Laughs. I visited my sister. I went to see a bunch of shows with my kids and my sister. And I said to my sister, I was so jealous of all the comedians on stage. And she said, you're jealous.
Jealous about what?
Because all the stand-ups.
Because you know them?
Because I want to be in the show.
And because you know them?
I know all of them.
So you're supposed to be there too?
I'm supposed to be there too.
The ego, yes. The big ego.
So, or even just, and my sister said something to me. She said, all these people, all they do is stand up, and you're doing clown shows.
I know.
So why don't you spend a year working on stand up? And honestly, that's what I've done this whole year.
Okay.
Is I've done, even though I've been, I should do a clown show. I've focused 1 year only on stand up comedy.
First time I meet you, 2013.
Yeah.
I have a bilingual show at the Comedy Nest. Remember?
Yes, it's I do first remember
time
that.
First time you are already on the weekend.
And I
invite you because it wasn't the
yes, I remember that.
The first time I meet you, and you did well.
Oh yeah, well in that time I was more of a persona. I remember I was a bit, you know, people would always say to me,
you
have great energy.
Yeah,
but no one would say good material. People would just say, you have great energy, which I was fine with.
You're charismatic, good looking, and you're happy. You know, on stage, you know?
I'm joyful, for
but
sure.
But we know it's not true. Because it's the,
Miserable.
It's the business, you know what I mean? Nobody know that. This is how you learn with the clowns, you know? Yeah. Because you still, because you know, I was a mascot in the past.
Okay, yeah, not surprised.
And my mascot, it's so smiley, but inside I was so pissed off, you know? Because everybody touched me, don't respect the mascot, you know? But nobody know because the clown smiled.
I read some articles on mascots that they often get beaten up. Like if a game doesn't go well and you were the mascot and the other team built.
They've been
hospitalized.
Yeah, I was in the grocery store, give a chocolate bar. The people beat me up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I understand the process. It's fun the where we go with that. The process to be yourself on stage.
Yeah.
No matter if... I thought you were yourself in 2013 when I saw you, you know? And you said, no, I was not myself. Are you yourself now?
I am now.
If I saw you in 2 years?
It'll probably be more myself.
I'm going to say, remember 2 years ago you said you were yourself?
Yeah.
You're going to say what? Yeah, I was myself or yeah, I was still not myself?
No, I think something did happen very recently, like about 2 years ago. And it's funny because again, Jason... I recently asked him if I could headline because he said, I got great feedback about you in Kingston and they're really tough in Kingston. The staff, they don't like everybody and they loved you.
Yes.
So we started having a couple drinks and I'm like, hey, Jason, like, when are you going to headline me? And he's like, what? Headliner? You've only been funny for 2 years.
Like that?
He was like that, very rude.
Front to front.
Honestly, the next day he apologized. It was all good.
Yeah.
But... He said, you've only been good for 2 years. He's a truth teller.
Yeah.
There was some truth to it. Like, I've been good my whole life. I've been a natural comedian. Yes. I used to do house parties and embarrass the crap out of myself. Like, I was the person that you're like, please don't come to my Seder ceremony. You heckled me last time. Like, I heckled friends during very important, serious, or drumming circles, and you're supposed to listen to the drum master, and I'd be like, improvising, embarrassing, because I couldn't control my need for laughter, for approval.
Yes.
I used to really do comedy for approval and for people to love me.
Yeah, because
and
you
to kind
that,
of, I've separated myself
so
that way.
So where the miss attention is from?
Oh, it's from being raised by wolves, by being from a divorced family, from having a brother who was a criminal, he no longer is, but like very traumatic childhood, middle child, always wanting to have more attention, to be loved.
From your father or your mother?
I have more mommy issues than daddy issues. My dad was my mom divorced him when I was 13. So we would be with my dad on weekends and my mom during the week. And my mom, when she divorced my dad, like she didn't really even want to get married. So it was kind of a big sexual revolution for her when she left my dad. So she was very much like, I've been taking care of these kids for too long. And I don't blame her for it, but I felt like I had my dad's attention. He was heartbroken. He loved my sister and I and my brothers, but my sister and I were with him on weekends. So he gave us a lot of love and was very overprotective.
Okay.
So that created its own issues of rebellion, because authority as well. But I feel like, yeah, for sure, attention, like, you know, I go, I've been on, I believe it or not, I've been on 9 meditation retreats to Vipassana.
Okay.
In like Montebello has them. They're free Vipassana meditation retreats. But whenever you go to these retreats, you always come back to your same bit of garbage you have to work through.
Yeah.
And I always go back to, you know, everyone has either mommy issues or daddy issues. I think I had for sure mommy issues that I just have to work through to go, you know, my mom did a great job.
Sometimes do you stop, like, because you said you go to a retreat, you know, to a think.
Yeah.
Do you think, sometimes you say to yourself, why I'm still doing that? Why I fight for that? I always ask, every time, you know, I moved to Toronto because I want to be better in English, you know, and I remember took my car for my first open mic in Mississauga, and I start to cry.
That's about right.
Because I was like, why I'm doing that? Yeah. You know, what I want to prove to who, for what, you know? And I said, no. It's the only reason why you cry now, it's because you're scared of, because it's not easy I stopped to come in French, make money, have attention, to do comedy in English, no money.
Yeah.
I'm not good in English. I have to learn. I have to restart.
Know, yeah.
And when you take age, you know what? It's not easy.
No.
So I moved to Toronto and my girlfriend followed me. So all the pressure of my city. I said, why am I doing that? You know? But if it was not a real goal at the time, first I will not do the podcast and I will not realize my dream to headline in LA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is the power of what we have, you know? But sometimes we don't have the answer. Why I'm doing that? Because it's the bad world, comedy, okay, trust me.
Yeah.
You have to figure it out who you are, not just in life, but on stage, you know?
And what do you want to say?
What do you want to say? And is it
why
funny?
Why are you doing it?
Is it funny? Yeah. So you struggle, you quit, you come back, you quit, you come back, you quit, you come back. And last year, it's like you have a revelation, you know?
Mm.
When you saw other comic.
It wasn't, you know what was funny is, I also did something, and I'm okay talking about it too. I worked with a...
I think she forgot the coffee.
Oh, did she?
I think.
Are you getting coffee too?
Yeah, I love coffee. We are not enough pumped.
I know, we gotta get pumped. I can wake up too.
No, it's a joke. We are already pumped.
Oh yeah,
this
okay.
Joke,
okay.
You know?
You're being sarcastic.
Yeah, I was sarcastic. We are too energetic
yeah.
person. Like
exactly.
we don't need coffee, you know. That's why I said that.
Well, that's why I said decaf, because I've had way too many. But
so you're just for laughs. This is the title of the podcast, you know.
Oh,
when
yeah.
you say that, yeah. Because no matter what you did in the past, you could quit easily and said, you know what, it's not for me. But you find something, maybe it's the ego, maybe it's the motivation, the jealousy, but something happened for you. Because to do a personage, to be, because you have to understand, me, I don't know you. I saw you in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you last year, okay?
Yeah.
So me, I don't know, you quit, you come back, you quit, you do a clown, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So when I saw you, I just said, oh my God, she's hot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Remember?
Well, I think,
when you said
yes.
You learned French 6 years ago on stage, remember?
Yes.
I said, wow, you know. But it's not comedy, it was other stuff.
Yeah.
Who make you comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
But because, listen, why I insist about that is because last year, you are the Just for Laughs, you saw a comedian, you have a reaction, okay?
Yeah.
And now this year, tell me, what are you going to do this year at Just for Laughs?
Okay, well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And
you have a list.
I have a present for you, too.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Whoa.
Do you want your present first?
No, I'm later
okay.
The present. It's,
so,
it's too much.
Since the 90s.
Okay.
In the 90s, 96, 97, I really was very passionate about cabarets, variety shows.
Yes.
So I've been doing a show called the Rag Bag Cabaret since 96. Samantha Bee, excuse me, was in she has her own show. You probably know who she is. Most people do know who she is. She lives in New York now. She just was doing sketch comedy, trying it out. Jessica Holmes, Ali Hassan, Deanne Smith, Dave Merhej. We've had so many people in the last 25 years come into the show because I've been in Toronto, I'm connected with community, I see someone perform something, I love it. A friend of mine, Paul Thompson, is a comedian, but he also does poetry, rap, improvise. I'd say, oh, come do the cabaret. I'd see people working on the street, performers, playing instruments. Hey, do you want to come and be part of my cabaret? So since the 90s, I've been doing a show called, it started as Candy Cabaret. It's changed names. I've done it with different people. About 10 years ago, I was ready to retire the Ragbag Cabaret. I did it for TIFF, the film festival. Yes. They paid me to do one at the Drake Hotel. Ironically enough, when I got that, it was a big opportunity. I was kind of ready to retire it because I was doing it alone. It was so exhausting. So one of my dearest friends, Luke Jackson, joined me and said, I'll help you co-produce the show. So it got a new life. So I've been doing it in Toronto, and that's the guy who, Luke Jackson, who helped me co-produce. I wrote my show, Shit, I'm in Love with You Again, and there's music, songs in it, like Monogamy, I Want to Spank My Kids This Christmas, I'm Breaking Up with Jesus, Fuck First, Then Head Out to Dinner, Don't Have to Worry About Keeping It Lean, Post-Orgasmic Poutine. We've written some really fun songs together, so I've collaborated with him over the years. It's been very positive. That said, I've been applying for Zoo Fest for 5 years. I've put my show in there, Shit, I'm in Love with You Again.
So for the last 5 years, you're at the Zoo Fest?
I've been applying.
Applying.
Just putting in my application. So last year I decided I'll apply with Shit, I'm in Love with You Again, and I will also apply with Ragbag Cabaret.
Show the picture.
This is the Ragbag Cabaret.
It's so beautiful.
So François Bellefeuille will be on there. Ashley Kutchenko, who won the Mike McDonald Comedy Award.
Oh, I love Ashley.
She's going to do some songs.
She's going to come in my podcast.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. We have a burlesque group, Elle's Wells.
Magic music burlesque comedy.
Burlesque comedy. Doolittle. We have a Mountie coming in.
Off
JFL.
Wow.
Off JFL. But then what happened, ironically enough, this is sort of, I find an interesting thing, is because I worked with a friend of mine is a personal coach, and her husband is a performer, and he had an amazing year last year, and I was like, she must be working some magic, and I talked to her, and she said, oh, I do coaching with him as well, like, everything he dreamed of having last year, he kind of had asked for, so I thought, you know, she had all these free lessons online, and I went on last year after I was frustrated of not being in just the last, and I did a conscious, what do I want to do with my life?
Okay.
Be clear for once about what you're happy with, what you're not happy with.
Wow.
So one of my goals was Just for Laughs, and I missed auditioning for Zoe this year. So I was like,
yes,
why'd
too.
You put Just for Laughs? Like, you can't get in. I mean, you applied for Zoo Fest. Out of nowhere, I get that you're... And then a few days later, the person who booked me for this said, hey, I have an outdoor spot in Zoo Fest, a stage, 1 hour. Would you like to do Shit, I'm in Love with You Again?
Whoa.
Outdoors. And I was like, it's kind of more of a storytelling show, but I do have a new show, Lady Rash, that might be more appropriate. So then I booked my second show, and I'm doing Rad Dad.
This is for how many show?
July 18th,
July 18th,
one night, 7:30. Then I do Rad Dads,
outside,
show at 9,
inside,
at Cafe Cleopatra. Mike Patterson is on that show, and Reese Turner, and all of these great Rad Dads.
Yes, And then
July 20th, I am at the outdoor stage, Zoo Fest, 9 o'clock, doing my one-woman show, 1 hour of Lady Rash.
Make some noise.
Thank you.
Make some noise for yourself. Yeah, you deserve
I'm excited.
It. You know,
I'm excited.
You know, when you put your mind to it, anything is possible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This is the proof, you know, because all the pain you get, and now 1 year. What do you feel about that?
I'll tell you, be honest. My son, because both my sons have been coming to Just for Laughs since they were 13, so they know Zoo Fest, they know Just for Laughs, they know what it is, they know I want it.
Yeah.
And when I got the news, I lay on the ground and roll on the floor.
Yes.
And my son was like, yes!
Exactly.
He got it. Because I also feel like I've done some other things this year that I've created myself that I've been so happy with. The Derek Seguin tour was very successful.
Yeah.
I did my one-woman show, Lady Rash, at the Ottawa Fringe.
Yes.
I had great success. I worked in a church basement, sober audiences, and I managed to figure out how to do stand-up comedy, a one-woman show in a basement like that venue we had.
Yes.
How to create comedy zero. Like right here, make a comedy show. I'm realizing you can make it from anywhere. So there's been many victories, and that this has just been icing on the cake. And doing Le Vandel in English, that has been, I'm on my fourth show tonight.
Exactly.
I'm hosting tonight. I hosted 2 weeks ago, I'm honored to be a part of
the Bordel is the best
that.
Club in Canada in French.
Oh,
and they just start to do a comedy show in English, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you so it's going to be the fourth time?
Fourth time I've done it. So the first time I did it, the next time they said, can you host?
Wow.
I was very honored to host. And then last night,
one
performed
year.
And then I'm hosting
1 year
tonight.
After you said, you know, focus. Focus.
Yeah, well, I feel excited. In 1 year, a lot's happened. So what happens next year,
imagine,
right?
Imagine, you if you focus like you did in the last year, in the next 5 years.
Oh, my God. But you
know
what?
You're going to do a Just Fall Off Gala?
But now I'm 50 and people are dying. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, just be healthy and stay.
50,
you said?
50. I will give you 35.
Oh, yeah?
39.
I started menopause.
Because I just realized my title. 39.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
44, nice.
You know? And so, but your art is young, you know? Mm. You still have butterfly, you're still passionate, and you be honest, you
roll. I love that you say butterfly. Butterfly is what you get in your stomach. It's,
yeah.
But I know what you mean, butterflies.
Butterfly, like, because you have the same problem than me and all comics. It's when you start something, oh, you saw something else and you did.
Yes, very distracting.
No, you have to continue, you know, and this is tough.
Should I tell her? Did you tell her to get
coffee? Yeah,
yeah, no, she's bringing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eat your salad.
Meanwhile, we need some carbohydrates. Does she have croissants or anything?
Ah, that's a good question. I don't think so. Maybe no, because it's Italian.
So
I don't think
they
eat croissants. But you want to eat something?
I'll wait.
Okay.
The coffee will be good.
But they have a biscotti on the side.
Oh, yeah, biscotti. Okay, good.
Like that?
That's great.
Because, what your husband said when he was there when you rode on the couch?
No, but I saw him that night, and he was excited.
Is he proud now?
He's very proud, and the thing is, he's good, but he's different from my kids. He's different from my sister.
No, I know. But he saw you struggle.
Oh, yeah, and he was so supportive.
He was so ashamed, you know, saying, it's my wife, after you're the clown, you know?
But even when I said, oh, yeah, he'll be there, and when I even said 20 years ago, I'm going to go sell my art in the street, he said he felt sick. He was like,
yes.
Not gonna sell her art. And then I came back and I'm like, I sold four pieces, $30 each. Yes. And he was like, so he actually very cutely, 20 years ago, he wrote on his phone, say yes, because it's not something he learned as a kid, that say yes to experiences and say yes. Like, I just think we're good influence for each other that way, because I'm such an optimist, he's such a realist.
Yes.
And I constantly challenge that in him, but he challenges in me too, like just practical things. Yeah. Like I do my taxes, I collect
exactly.
HST,
look at that.
All those boring
look
things.
Look at that decap,
beautiful.
Oh, wow, I'm jealous.
Love it.
Look, merci.
Merci beaucoup.
Wow.
Fabulous.
Amazing. We need an orgy. Do you put sugar in your coffee?
Sounds like you said we need an orgy.
Yes. We're going to stop. We're going to come back in 5 minutes. Okay, 46. Well, I just want to be sure because I'm the producer. The light is good. Wow. Hey, the poster is great.
Okay, good.
So listen, you're right. You're right. It's a negative positive a couple. You know.
You know.
My girlfriend, she's like your husband.
Yeah.
Because she believes in me, but at the same time, she realistic. You know, she's not. And it's good for me because she's not a groupie.
Yeah.
So she always put me back.
Yeah.
Example, I did a TV show. I did a lot of this gala on television. Okay. Mm. But when I did the first one, I was with her 4 years. Mm. For the 4 years. And I 4 years struggled, tried to be good. I did my first TV show. And she was not really impressed until, you know, I'm not impressed, but she did not realize that I was on television. You know what I mean? Like, but when she saw my name in the description at the end, she said, hey, your name is, I said, what?
That's what impressed her.
What? Who cares? My name is there. I was on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing. I think your husband saw a lot of your stuff, but maybe when you're going to have your Just Fall Off Pass with your name, maybe when he will saw you at Just Fall Off on the stage, outdoor, inside, maybe he's going to realize that. Because
I don't even think so. No, I don't think that's what it is. I think with him, he knows I'm good. He knows that I know I'm good.
But
so he doesn't think that he needs to tell me I'm good. He's not a words guy.
No, maybe he needs the approval of the industry. Because he have a stomach because you sell.
But it was
you sell.
Because of the clown show. Like when he sees, okay. He saw my 1 hour of stand up, my last show, and he's good because he's like, wow, you're really good. And cheers. He's also, and you hope your doctor's like this, he notices the thing that could be better, the thing that can improve, the place where he will make you, like recently he said to me, oh, I noticed Derek Sagan doesn't say you guys. Why are you saying you guys all the time? You say you guys, and I've been aware of it. I say you guys a lot, so I'm trying to stop saying you guys. And I appreciate that he points that out. Like, yeah. we did personality, you can do a personality examination on, like, online. You can pay like $20 and you get, they analyze your personality. And one of them was enthusiasm. And I am about 98% on this, like, yeah. Out of 100 people, I am more enthusiastic than 98% of the population. And we found out my husband is 3%. So he's not, it's just not natural for him, right? But compassion.
No, it's exactly.
He's a doctor. He's like,
Oh, yeah.
Me, I'm not as like, or like, I'm disagreeable. I'm very highly disagreeable. I didn't realize that.
Your eye profile is low profile.
No, even like.
Doesn't know you want to be in a superstar. Like.
No, there's like, for instance, you hear sirens. There's. Do you want to be part of the action? No, zero.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I've got to be 100%. So I finally, I think we've worked a lot on our relationship, right?
Yeah.
Almost divorced. My last show, Should I Love You Again, is all about almost divorcing, but you have to work on your shit.
Yeah, but my point is about you realize it's a job and you are a professional of comedy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you think it's still a project. Do you think it encourage you because beautiful project, or you realize now?
Oh no!
You're gonna be a superstar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He recognizes, like, he wants to retire. So I'm like, okay, start managing me.
Do you know Jess Salomon?
Yeah.
She did the Tonight Show.
Oh, I know.
Did you watch the Tonight Show?
I didn't watch her. Okay. I didn't watch it. No.
You should watch it because it's a great example of perseverance. You know?
Yeah.
Like you are. Mm. Because sky's the limit when you focus on something, you know?
Well, it was Jess Salomon that I saw last year at one of the galas, and I was like, I know her. I've been doing comedy as long as she has, so it was kind of a little bit of, I can be there.
You
I should
be there.
Everybody, I need to be
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So it's putting myself there, which you have to do that sometimes.
Yes.
Some people don't. Some people just get it. I have to put myself. And I think what you do, like you said, you really liked my hosting.
Yeah.
I've been hosting shows and hosting my own shows.
Yeah.
So I've built up that muscle to be able to do that. And I've created that for myself.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that opportunity from other people. It hasn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah. But I want to come back with the world of stand-up when you said about the absolute and the yuck. And if you have to make a choice, you're gonna go where the money is, or who's gonna give you the first chance? Are you?
I don't know if my chances are in clubs, honestly.
Okay.
I'm getting much bigger gigs now.
Exactly.
To get paid.
You don't focus on clubs.
When you can get, like, I don't know. So that's why I think I'm going in the direction of headlining, because I'm getting gigs that pay me the same fees the headliners make.
Yes, and you can
do
your own.
So when I give up, like Mike McDonald used to say, I'd say, oh, can I hire you and pay you $200 for this night? And he's like, weekday you can, but on weekends I'm getting gigs for $500 to $1,000,
exactly.
So why am I gonna say yes?
Yeah.
So when you put yourself into a club as a non-headliner, you're getting paid maybe something under $1,500, not to reveal the amounts, but to give that up when you can make $1,500
for
one night is very difficult.
I know.
So more, I'm kind of in transition right now,
yes.
Where I'm like,
no,
yes,
yeah,
I'm hosting
yeah.
a show in 2 weeks.
But you still do open mic. You still do open mic.
Do open mics, and I don't feel I need to as much because I don't need to get on stage every night of the week.
Okay.
I need to be on stage 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay.
And I have spurts where I'm on stage for 5-6 days a week. But I also have a puppy. I have a relationship. I have 2 kids. I live in the country.
The 2 kids, okay, but the puppy, you know. I have 2 puppy, and when I work, I said, "Are you happy here?" It's because I work, so shut up, you know. But the puppy.
The only reason I'm saying puppy is that I like being at home.
I know.
Like, if someone's like, "You want to come for free?"
Yeah.
to perform, I remember someone saying, oh, I don't leave my house for under 500. And that was a long time ago. And I was like, that must be nice.
Yeah.
I think it was Rebecca Kohler that said that years ago. And I was like, nice. But I sort of am starting to feel that way a little bit. Like, just if I'm getting paid, I'm happy to leave my house. But I also don't feel, I did so many open mic nights in Toronto.
Yes.
I did 20 years of like, I didn't do 20 years. I'm exaggerating. It was about 7 years of, like, you're in a Greek restaurant and there's one family sitting at the table and the microphone is in front of the family and they don't even know there's a comedy show going on and you're doing comedy. And that's like 5-6 nights a week, 5 shows a night.
I still do that.
I don't do that so much anymore. I feel like I don't.
You touch the stool?
Oh, I'm not supposed to?
No, you don't know. I'm happy you touch it. What represents the stool for you?
This is what represents the stool. Uh-huh. Darling, here, just on here.
Okay.
You know, and my phone, timing myself.
Okay, this is, you need this.
I always need a stool, yeah.
And the mic, when you saw a mic, do you have an emotion? Do you have a reaction about the feeling?
You know, it's interesting. I used to not like the mic.
Okay.
I would be so happy when it was a show that didn't have a mic.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming
or
from
a mic
theater,
like that.
Or a mic like that. Working with Mike McDonald, right before he passed away, I was his opening act.
Wow.
So he invited me. I was supposed to be at a show at Yuck Yucks. And he said, oh, would you like to open for me in Bancroft? And I was like, oh, I'm already booked. And then I was like, oh, how much does it pay? And he was like, $400. And I'm like, I'll make room for it.
Yeah.
So I opened for him in Bancroft. It was such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And he used the mic so beautifully.
Yeah.
And just like, he had it there, but he was still very theatrical. So I've been experimenting that even with my last show that I did at the Ottawa Fringe just 2 weeks ago. I find because I'm very physical.
Yes.
The microphone, if I take it away from the stand, I'm almost too physical sometimes. So I actually experimented with 3 shows where I just had the mic stand and the mic, and I performed without taking the mic off.
Okay.
And I really, really liked it. So
I
it might be a new place for me to be playing with that.
So you don't
see the model, I probably will take the mic off.
Do you
just
touch the stand when you're on stage, or you put the stand and you never touch them again?
I tend to put the stand away. But I do, I incorporate magic into my act sometimes. So when I do a magic trick, I usually need both hands.
Okay.
So I,
Oh, you do magic trick?
Yeah, I might have it here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's see.
I didn't know. So
because I joke about my husband being a stripper. And then I'm like, people go, woohoo. And I'm like, I'm just kidding, he's a doctor, but no one woohoos for that. And then I'm like, but it's cool, he's not just a doctor, he's also a magician. He can make things disappear. Because before we met, I had an enormous student debt. Gone. And then at the end of the show, I'll say, my husband, you know, I say he's a magician, but us comedians, we are the real magicians.
Whoa. Wow.
So I've been, a lot of it's come from my clown background, because one of my characters does magic tricks.
You're a kid, huh? You know that?
A little bit, yeah.
This is great, because I think I'm a kid too, you know, and I don't want to lose that. And it's not, we are not immature, look. It's just the innocence, you know? Still remember when we were young, have fun, just enjoy the show business, you know?
Yeah.
Not the business, but the show, you know?
Right.
Because in general, when you're sad about comedy or it's not the show, it's the around. You know, it's the people, the bullshit, exactly.
It is,
exactly.
Well, and you know, I feel like, honestly, moving from Toronto to Ottawa, I have to say, Ottawa.
Okay, so now you're back to Ottawa for the last 4 years ago, you moved to Ottawa.
And I actually live between Almont and Carp. So I do a lot of jokes about living in a small town now, because I live in a town where, like, I live in kind of the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
But when you walk around the neighborhood, people wave at you. So I joke about it, because I'm like, at first I was like, what's wrong with these people? Why are they waving? I realize they're friendly. But I'm in a small town where people are like, you gotta get her done.
Get
her done. Like, really, country folk, no teeth.
Yeah.
Chewing tobacco.
So
I have some new jokes about that. But I do feel like in Toronto, it's hard to drive.
You should say that before.
Which one?
Before the puppy. The reason why you don't do a lot of show is because you live far from the city.
Yeah, but I only live 25 minutes.
It's 25-25.
Yeah, but you know what? In Toronto...
To do an open mic, think about that.
But listen, in Toronto, you drive or bike
everywhere,
25 minutes.
No,
but the difference is I'm in the country and I'm in the bush.
Yeah.
Where in Toronto, I was like Gerrard Street. You know what I mean? You're just still downtown. So there's a bit, I always say that I feel like Madonna, where I'm like in the country, 2 acres, and then I drive into Ottawa.
Are you a princess in life? In a
really, well,
yeah.
Oh, for sure. You're a princess. Are you kidding? Huh? Yes, you know it. Yes.
Because I am a princess too.
I dated a princess, and I was like, there can't be two princesses. This guy, I used to do this terrible joke where I would say, like, I remember this guy I was dating. We were swimming, and I dunked him underwater. Like, we were racing, and I pushed him underwater and pretended to drown him. And then he came up out of the water, and I was like, loser. And he started crying.
Whoa.
And I was like, he's like, you people call me a loser. And I was like, I felt really bad.
Yeah.
But I was also like, you're not strong enough. Like, I need to be with someone who's going to be stronger than me instead of like me having to protect.
Yeah, exactly.
So then I wished for, I remember my ex, we would never argue. And so I kind of wished when we broke up, I was like, this is the list of things I want in a guy. And one of the things was argue. Now I'm like, oh my God, why did I? He's so opinionated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The doctor. Yeah. I joke and I say he got 98% in university calculus. Yeah. What an asshole. Because I failed grade 8.
Do you talk about that on stage?
I do. Wow. I say I failed grade 8. Loser move, but I convinced my best friend to fail with me. So, you know, that's what I'm good at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Convincing people, sales.
So now we know your short goal. Okay, it's there. Your goal in the business. This is your goal. You anticipate that, you visualize, and you're there now.
But so, what's funny is it didn't come in the way I thought it would. Like,
okay, better or
less?
Okay.
And ragbag. Like, I didn't expect to get in with ragbag, but I was like, I'm willing. I'm okay.
You're there.
I'm taking it. And then I got the Rad Dad show. I'm doing stand up. Great.
Trust me, when you're going to have your pass, you're gonna understand the feeling.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I know. Some people said, "What? It's the paper?" No, 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 no. You know that Wayne's World? You know Wayne's World?
Yeah.
When I have a VIP pass to go and say, "We're on shit, Wayne, shit."
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like that. You're gonna have your VIP pass.
Well, because I've been going
with
to the parties.
Artists, exactly.
Yes.
No, my artist.
Yeah.
Rachel Ely, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Wait.
Fuck you guys. I'm here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you're there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This is the short goal, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, because in life we have to make X on the calendar.
Yeah.
If we don't do that, we stay alone and we eat chips, you know. So what is your big goal? What is your next level? What is your medium goal and for the next year or your ultimate goal? What Rachel wants and said, I did it. I succeed. I can die, you know, not die in life, but die like I did what I want. What do you want?
Well, I wanted 3 things this year.
Okay.
I wanted to get into more festivals, and I got into Hubcap Comedy Festival and opened for
Tommy Chong,
Moncton.
Moncton.
So that was the beginning of I want to get in festivals.
Repeat the name?
Hubcap.
No, the guy.
Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong is a Ching and Chong movie.
Ching and Chong.
When
Ching
I started smoking weed.
And I loved him as a kid. And to go to a festival and get that pass.
Exactly.
To get flown there, to have a hotel.
Yes.
I've done festivals before, but it was the first where I was like, okay, I'm VIP here.
I'm a princess.
That was so big.
Okay.
Getting into Just for Laughs or off Just for Laughs and doing my one woman show at the Fringe, that was also part of the goal. The other goal that I haven't really paid much attention to, but I feel like I've got a couple months to work on it, is my show Shit, I'm in Love with You Again. I got it translated by Annie Deschamps.
The father of Yvon Deschamps,
yeah.
I know.
And so it's called Shit, I'm in Love with You Again, but the translation right now is Merde, I'm in Love with You on Call.
Merde, okay,
I'm in Love with You on Call. So my goal, I would like to take advantage of Quebec and this amazing market and the fact that I'm bilingual, that I've grown up with speaking French. I prefer speaking French often. So my goal is really to step into the bilingual zone and create my one-woman show. I really got a nice gift last year as I was invited to be the animatrice for Hope and Mike in Gatineau. So Gatineau, I was going there as an open micer.
Yeah, so bilingual.
And then I got booked as
the
headliner like 2 times in a row. But what I found when I was doing my bilingual comedy at Hope and Mike, I was getting like applause breaks and people like women especially standing and being like, oh my God, I love what she's saying. And it felt like the voice that I have in French, a lot of French women have not heard my voice.
Okay.
A mother who has 2 kids,
yes.
Married, happily married, has sex, likes it, loves her children. is passionate,
yeah,
and takes care of herself. It was a new voice. So part of me was, when I got the hosting job, it was a whole other thing, a whole other learning curve.
Yes.
They end up canceling the show. But that said, it awakened in me a, first of all, remembering I speak French. French is such a huge part of my life. Like,
yeah,
my dad sent me to France when I was 18 to learn French at l'Institut,
wow,
de Touraine.
Whoa.
En France. I have relatives who are my
Where did you use the French?
In
your
life? I was in all French school till grade 5.
No,
but
now,
French.
Do you talk with your kids?
No, I did. My son was struggling in French, so I spoke for 2 years to my kids only in French, but that's it. Like, I don't speak a lot of French now, unless when I'm in Montreal, I try to speak French.
So where you speak French? In Ottawa.
Oh, Ottawa. Like,
yeah,
opportunities if I meet people,
yeah,
or have,
oh,
friends,
you switch
who
right
are
away?
French, I switch. But most of my friends who are, like, whenever I'm at Le Bordel, I'm trying to speak French to people, but a lot of the French comics are switching to English, so
because
they want to speak English.
It's an English night.
I will be speaking French with you, but you want to speak English.
Yeah.
So,
just to
any
be sure,
opportunities I have to speak French.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is your goal, to do a French show, your woman show. In French.
I think I want to do bilingual.
Oh, bilingual.
A bilingual,
okay,
version of it.
So say
it's, yeah,
for
so for the, like, September, October, November,
okay,
I'm doing it in Sudbury, the English version,
okay,
but I'm just going to start kind
and
of...
The ultimate goal is? Are you shy to tell
them? Honestly, I'd,
yeah,
love to do French comedy in Quebec,
okay,
and kind of have my career explode in French
comedy.
So you
comedy. Want to...
That would be my truthful kind of, like, if I really admit it.
This is the goal.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. So you are in the good position because you are already in the noyau. I don't know how to say that, the art.
Oh, like
the art,
Lord of the Rings, the eye?
The art of, exactly, it's the bordel, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like the Yuck Yucks, you know, everybody said it's Toronto, for me it's Ottawa.
Oh, okay.
The art, you know, where's everything,
the heart of it, yeah,
where everything arrives, everything happens, it's Howard Wagman, okay? This guy is amazing, okay? He helped a lot of comic, you know? So for me, if I was like a new comic, I will not move to Toronto, I will move to Ottawa.
Oh, really?
And have more stage time and have a mentor, you know?
But you have to have Howard like you, that's the
exactly.
Movie,
no, exactly.
Which is a pretty big, if he loves you, then you're great.
I know, but if,
yeah,
he doesn't like you, but who cares? Because the goal is to prove to yourself and go on stage. It's comedy.
Yes,
you don't
time.
Have a secret path to be better, you know? You have
right.
to bomb until,
right.
but it's there. You know what I mean? Do you have a mentor? Do you have somebody who, like you said, the comic, you said the comedy store, you said you watch a lot of this guy.
Oh, who was it? Sam Kinison.
Sam Kinison.
You know what?
Do you have
I can
mentor?
Honestly say, because I studied clown for 20 years,
yes.
and I had so many teachers.
Yes.
And Philippe Gaulier was a big influence for
Philippe?
Me. Philippe Gaulier.
Gaulien?
Gaulier.
Gaulier.
He was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Okay.
Borat.
Yes.
Borat studied, like, Sacha Baron Cohen created Borat with,
wow,
Philippe Gaulier.
Wow.
In his book,
yes.
Philippe Gaulier's book, Sacha Baron Cohen writes and says, thank you for changing my career,
yes.
in comedy. So I think for years I've had people who I admire.
Yes.
And I think it's been really big for me to knock all those people down and
yeah.
go, I am the master now, I am the teacher. A few years ago, I started teaching stand-up comedy and clown.
Really?
And it has been it's been big for me to go,
yeah.
I am no longer looking to other people for advice and mastery.
Yeah.
Not that I won't take advice from people, I will, but my audience is who tells me what is good and bad. I immediately find out if they laughed or they didn't laugh. That's the feedback I need, so I videotape myself. I am my own director that
yes,
way.
Exactly.
And I also have put too much energy into what other people think. Like,
okay.
I did that character for 8 years, partially because he was like, you play him until he die. And I'm like, okay, I'm playing this character. And then I'm like, I don't really have to play him forever. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's chubby, he's a toothless guy, he's living in a suitcase right now in my basement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
oh.
where he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But he's in my suitcase. Like, I can close the suitcase.
Why you don't burn the box?
No, I love
okay,
him
you,
so much.
But you love him in the box.
No, I love him out too. Honestly,
oh, yeah?
I'd like to bring him out. I feel like he would do so well in French comedy
so
too.
So when are you gonna move to Quebec?
I know.
Is it something you think?
No, I
are you just
can't
you're gonna
move
drive
to Montreal? I have to drive.
It's 2 hours out of
yeah,
Montreal.
Yeah.
But
it's 2.5 hours for
so,
me.
So
you take the train. That's
yes,
easy. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's relaxing.
Exactly.
Easy.
I think that's the way I have to do
okay.
it. Yeah. And maybe Gatineau. Maybe Gatineau is the way to go as well, right?
I don't know.
I never
played that. So the ultimate goal is to play in French, work in French, bilingual.
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't want to go to LA, I don't want to go to New York. I like working in Canada.
It's weird you say that, you're American.
My own shows. I know, I have an American passport.
I have to go.
Oh, I'm not supposed to say that out loud.
No, I just want to know. 1 hour, 9 minutes, it's great. No, because I always want to go to LA, and the visa and the green card, it's a long process, it's expensive.
Right.
And you could be there.
Yeah.
In LA.
I know.
And do a Suzanne, you know.
Then she's gonna,
you know.
And she happened.
But it was not for you.
No.
LA
no.
never.
I'll tell you about that later.
Later, yeah. Off the record.
Off the record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah.
I think on New York. New York too.
New York. I have a lot of relatives in New York.
Okay.
I think it's just having kids, like, and being away from them. Even with the way my career is now, I still have to. Like, I'm in Montreal. I'm not with my kids for 2 days.
Yeah.
They're teenagers, so it's fine. One of my kids is going to university now.
But the doctor. If I remember, he was in Toronto. He moved with you in a.
No, no. It was his idea to move because he's now a small town doctor.
Yeah.
So he works in Almont.
And exactly. And so because he made a big step for you, or it was a mutual.
No. My kids wanted to move, and my husband, because we have a cottage 45 minutes from our house now. In Toronto, our cottage was 4.5 hours
away. So everybody was happy.
So we were always, everyone was happy. I wasn't sure if it was a good idea with career.
That's why you call
it
a war.
But then when I got into Ottawa and saw Yuck Yucks, Absolute Comedy, great clubs, nice scene.
Yes.
People listen to your comedy.
Yes.
The comics are all quite lovely.
I know.
Beautiful community.
Yeah.
And close to Montreal, I actually realized, and it's feeling good in the country. Like, space for myself. My neighbors used to be right here, like, having space to just have my own thoughts as a painter as well, and someone who meditates. Like, I like having space for my own thoughts.
Exactly.
So I think that kind of
you're really
now I go to Toronto all the time. I come to Montreal, but I always am very happy to go back to the campagne.
Yeah,
living
you put,
in
you
the
you
country.
Like fireplace outside. You do fire?
Oh yeah, fires,
no,
bonfires.
Relax.
My kids love doing bonfires
exactly.
all the time. And our cottage, I was there like 2 days ago, swimming in the lake.
Yeah,
it's so peaceful, so beautiful. So I have no regrets. But I was the last one to want to leave Toronto. And a friend of mine said, you were generous with your family, and now the universe has given back to you and said, you were generous, so here's...
You believe in the law of attraction?
You know what? I always think that works unless you're living in Haiti and you have an earthquake and people are like, hey, I guess it's all for the better. Things happen for a reason. Well, not really.
No,
the
mate.
Earthquake was
not
a good thing for it. Like, if you live in a developing country, no, things don't happen for a reason.
It's not the law of attraction.
Law of attraction is if you ask for something, it will come to you.
Okay.
Like, isn't that what it is?
But maybe it's a mix of...
Like, the secret of it.
But, yeah, exactly. It's like if you're negative... When you wake up, what's going to be your day?
I know.
It's going to be negative.
And that's the thing. I believe in that.
No.
But if you live in a developing country, people don't like that. It's like, you live in poverty and you have...
Well, I mean, you know
you
how many people in poverty are more happy than us?
I know, but...
They have nothing and they have everything, you know? And when I go to Cuba, I always cry because they are happy and, you know, they have nothing. You know what I mean?
It's tricky, though. A friend of mine died of cervical cancer last year because she doesn't have the testing in Kenya that they do here.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't need to die. It's preventable.
No, I know.
But because she lives... I know what you're saying.
No, my point is because I don't want to be a spiritual. I just want to... Because the answer is, if you're negative, everybody said, yeah, you're going to be negative all day long.
Yeah.
So I said the same thing on the positive.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yes... You have a earthquake. Yes, you live in a shitty place, but you decide how you're going to respond with that.
Oh, of course.
Know what I mean?
Of course. It's so much about attitude.
It's
and
about
the way you approach your life.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because nobody owns us something.
Mm.
You have to create your own stuff.
Mm.
You know, sometimes people take 1 year and they succeed, but at the end they're gonna struggle again because they go too fast.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You take your time. You make choice with family, kids, the husband. you struggle, you try something, and now you're here with me, do a great podcast. Very happy. Look at that. You're a star. You're a star.
Here's the present I brought you. This is from Almont.
Cocoa bean.
And they got look cocoa beans from Haiti.
Look at that.
I love it. And that's this is that? A monkey, coconut blue monkey. Well, yeah. I love that. So this is, they entered a contest.
Is it chocolate?
It's chocolate.
No way.
And it's a couple that makes chocolate. They entered a contest, a European contest, and won best chocolate in the world.
Look how I proved my point. did she's happy? And she lived there.
The grower.
Because, you know, look at that. You know what I mean? Look.
Oh, I know.
She's so happy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I wanted to give you this, too. I give this to people at the end of my show.
It's You're not supposed to give me gift. You're so generous. Wow.
This
you
is
already.
This is the stop talking part.
So,
I give it to myself all the time.
Because I
give
always.
Give it to relatives. Give it to family members. Or, you know.
What do you mean by stop talking? Because I should give me this card of
I give it to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a big lesson for me. Like my husband.
So you just give me. You
want to
stop
problem.
Talking?
No, not at all. I want you to have that for as a gift.
So what am I supposed to do with that? Well, just
keep it, and you can give it to your partner. Okay. If you're the one that
she
talks
never
talk. Too much.
She never talks.
Exactly. My husband.
I'm gonna
like
give
that.
You this card to my girlfriend.
Yes, and she can give it to you at parties when and you're being obnoxious.
Trust me, I have to put that inside because she will love this chocolate.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. For your generosity, your joy of life, you know? And you know what? This is why I do a podcast, because I want to show to the people what is the real life in comedy. Mm. First, you need the passion. Mm. You have to understand the struggle. Mm. And you have to figure it out who you are, you know? And now I think you're not too far off what you want to give to the people
for
about
sure.
who you are.
Yeah.
And we have the proof here.
Thank you.
It's going to be a great summer for you. Before you go, I have a question, very important question. Do you think the Expo are back?
I'm the wrong person to ask that.
I mean, do you love
I
baseball?
I don't. My mom loves baseball.
You never
should I text
to see
her and ask her?
No, you never
she,
went
she
to the baseball?
She was friends with Jackie Robinson.
But you know the story about the Expo.
Not really.
No, they moved in 2004 in Washington.
Okay.
And now we talk about to bring back a stadium in Griffintown, the old port, and came back another team.
Okay.
Do you think it's going to be good for the city?
Sure, sounds great.
You think about that hot dog, beer, sun, outside?
I can't help but think it sounds fabulous.
You never went to see the Blue Jays?
No, my mom loves
baseball.
You
lived 25 years there.
Do you know what? I went to Vermont. I went to a baseball game only because my mom bought us tickets. I hate sports, and my husband hates sports. The rest of my family love sports.
Never see a
I'm
Blue
a
Jays.
Visual artist because of sports.
Wow.
I was forced to watch football on Sundays. Blue Jays, like, no, great. Go Blue Jays.
Thank
I
you.
Don't watch baseball, but I like this hat.
This is Montreal Canadiens with Maurice. This is Maurice Richard. This is the best hockey player. So this is, by the way, we are at the Peyronie. Thank you so much, Peyronie, for the coffee, for the great place to do a beautiful podcast.
Really
there
nice.
Every weekend, remember that.
Oh, okay.
They have a comedy show. It's the best comedy night in Montreal.
Oh, really?
No, yeah.
I thought you said Le Valdel was
no
the
best. Bullshit, in French.
Oh, but English?
English?
Here. Oh,
yeah. So,
nice.
Thank you so much.
Merci my pleasure. Merci.
To come here. Are you happy?
I'm very happy.
Hey,
yes.
It's a great
I've
podcast.
I've had my third coffee of the day, too.
Exactly. So, let's go eat, not the salad. Let's
yes,
go
yes.
eat.
Let's
you want
some
chicken wings?
Yes, please.
Let's do this.